I'm sure most of you have heard the news that this year the town of Bethlehem has decided not to decorate their city or town with Christmas lights this year. Apparently they did not want to have the lights on because of the ongoing war with Gaza. And so the town literally this evening sits in darkness. There will be no hoopla celebrating the birth of Jesus. No lighted festivities or commemorations about the baby born. No electric stars pointing the way to the manger. A sad declaration of the darkness that our world finds itself in. 2,000 years ago, it was not much different. The town of Bethlehem that we just sang about was not filled with celebratories welcoming the birth of the long-awaited Messiah. There was no birthday parties for the king born to the Jews, no lights or music or parades, no crowds gathering in anticipation for the event that would literally change history and our understanding of time forever, AD and BC, right? The only ones that joined the weary travelers from Nazareth that evening was a group of poor shepherds with a story too incredible to be believed. The darkness on the hillside outside Bethlehem was suddenly brightened by a brilliant light and the message, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And then the angels in far greater numbers gathered to praise God in heaven. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. But just as quickly, that angelic light that appeared was gone. And the darkness and gloom once again covered the earth. And yet a light did come to that lowly stable. Light wrapped in mortal flesh, a light that would shine and bring light to all men, the glories of heaven reduced to a crying child. How could one who created everything become part of the created? How could infinite majesty put on finite clothes? How could the timeless one come into our time? The light of the world came into that darkness of our world, and it has not been the same since. Light and darkness. Darkness and light. Like I said, not much has changed. As we look around us, we all see darkness. The wars over the Middle East and in Ukraine. The hatred and name-calling between our two political systems in our own country. Dividing our land to almost to the point of another civil war. Churches around the world closing or on decline. Our world racked with drugs and crime and disease. Peaceful protests turn violent with hate crimes on the increase. And it seems like it's only getting worse. A few months ago, we looked at what Paul said in 1 Timothy 4. It says, "The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons." And in 2 Timothy 3, Paul writes, "There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, and without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, and conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power." And more we are seeing these kinds of people increase in the world around us. Dark people with darkened hearts threatening to bring more darkness on an already dark and dreary world. A song that sometimes we sing this time of year says, "And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong, and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. What you may not know is that song was written during a time of the Civil War here in America between the North and the South. Two additional verses make this abundantly clear as it describes the weapons of war in those days, the guns and the cannons spewing out their hatred. He writes, "Then from each black accused mouth a cannon thunders in the South, and with the sound the carol drowns of peace on earth, goodwill to men." As it was an earthquake rent the hearthstones of the continent, made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. The author of this hymn was writing that these sad and dark-filled world, these dark-filled words, because of the darkness in his own heart. His son had just died in that conflict of the Civil War, and he did not know where to turn in this dark despair that first Christmas without his child. Where do you turn when darkness like this haunts your soul? What ground do you stand upon when all around seems like sinking sand? What kind of world knows only darkness and despair to this magnitude? Well, for Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, who penned these frightful words, it was the Christmas bells ringing. It was a message of light that came into the darkness of this world, and that one bright light made all the difference. "Then ring the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men." The Bible has a lot to say about light and darkness. It acknowledges that there is darkness around us, and sometimes it is caused by our own sinfulness and our wandering from God. Other times it is a natural consequence of the sin that was brought into the world. And yet, time and time again, God promises light to those in darkness. Let me read several of these passages from the Old Testament. Psalm 107, 10. "Some sat in darkness, in the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the word of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of the darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains." Isaiah 8:20. "Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged and look upward and will curse their king and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and only see distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." And a few verses later, "For unto us a child is born." Isaiah 60, verses 2 and 3. "See, darkness covers the earth, with thick darkness over the peoples. But the Lord rises among you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your dawn." And finally, Lamentations 3. "I am a man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again, all day long. He made my skin and my flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead." But then a few verses later, it writes, "But because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness." All these verses describe the darkness of the world spiritually. As the old hymn says, the whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. But as that song concludes, the light of the world is Jesus. Because Jesus came to bring that light. One of my favorite passages this time of year is John 1. It talks about that light that had come into the world. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not that light. He only came as a witness to that light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed on his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent or of human decision or of husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling upon us. Among us, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And John carries that theme of light throughout his book. John 3:19-21, just a few verses after that famous John 3:16 passage, says, "This is the verdict, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds are evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives in the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly what he has done and what has been done through God." John 8:12 reads, "I am the light of the world," Jesus says. "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And finally, in John 12:46, he says, "I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should ever stay in darkness." So Jesus is that light that changes the darkness around us. And we are called to spread that light to others. Tonight, as we pass the light around the candles, it's a symbolic way of saying that we need to pass the light that Jesus has given to us to others. And sharing that message of light to a darkened world is just that easy. Passing the light to someone else. Passing the flame from one candle to another. Let me give you a reason why I have this light. Let me give you a reason why I can see my way forward in this dark world. Let me share with you the light that I've received from others. Let me show you the light of the world, that Jesus loves you and wants to show the way back to him. The Bible says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, such they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we ourselves preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as his servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, 'Let light shine out in darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." Or as Ephesians says, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Live as children of light." And that's my urge for you tonight as we light our candles, to live as children of light and show that light to others. Pass that light of Jesus around to those next to you. Just let that light shine as Jesus did in that dark world. Let us be the ones to light the paths of others to God's glory and his grace. You can be that one light that changes the world around you. You might think that my light's not very big. It's just a small candle. But the darker the world is around you, the brighter your light can shine. So be that light this Christmas season in those around you. May God's light that was given to you bring new life and new light to those you see around you. Don't be like the town of Bethlehem this year. Let your light shine.